Hi, I'm Bill Goodrich, president of Horizon University. Are you interested in completing your college degree from a Christ-centered, biblically integrated, and fully accredited university? In associate and bachelor degree programs designed for students to excel in their professions as they win and disciple others for Christ in business and ministry. For a theologically sound, affordable, and accredited college institution, visit horizonuniversity.edu and start earning your degree. Excellent teaching today for the leaders of tomorrow.
And I want you to know this, that as God speaks to us and as he works within our hearts, we would actually run to him in our times of prayer and in the word and say, Father, will you do this work in me? I need help. And the Lord desires that. He desires to work in your heart, to fashion you into the image of his son. Be praying for the Lord just to reveal these things to you. And if you need poured into, for crying out loud, let us know.
Welcome to Journey Through the Word, a teaching ministry of Horizon Christian Fellowship in Indianapolis. Today, Jordan Begay, Associate Pastor of Horizon Christian Fellowship, presents a special teaching in this edition of Journey Through the Word.
Home fellowship season is coming back, and May 16th is when they are to begin. And I was thinking through, you know, Lord, what do you want to teach? And so I kind of wanted to answer the question as far as why do we gather in general, and then specifically kind of refer to home fellowships in particular. And hopefully you'll notice that as we go through, I've just got seven super not profound points about why we gather. But they all happen on a Sunday morning. They all happen on a Wednesday night. They all happen when you go to a men's advance or women's retreat. They all happen when you come to VBS. Anything we do, you'll see these things. These are characteristics of the church when the Lord gathers us together. These are the things that happen. Now, I think that there's a special place for these in a small group. When you gather together, why does Ron Ewing not come to my home fellowship? I don't want him looking around my stuff. That's why. How weird is that? That's weird, Ron. So he's got his own. He can't come to my house. But there's a special intimacy, maybe not quite that much, but there's a special time of gathering together, sitting in someone's living room or wherever it might be, where the Lord can work. It's smaller, it's intimate, and it's good. So Hebrews chapter 10, just in case you were wondering, we're actually commanded. It's not like an option to gather together. Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 23, the whole chapter is unbelievable, isn't it? But we're just going to dive right in here. It says, let us hold fast. Oh, if anybody needs Bibles, I think they've been passed around. Okay. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, that we would not forsake the assembling of ourselves together like some people do, but we would exhort one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. And so you see there's a precedent set before us in the church where we gather together. We do these things where we come on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday, whatever it might be, because it's really important that we do that, that we would stir up love and good works. Well, what's the point of stirring up love and good works unless I'm with people? We are supposed to do that for one another. And so I've got, like I said, seven things, reasons why we gather. The first one is koinonia, fellowship, and edification, the building up of the church. Now, there's going to be some scripture on the, whatever that is, the screen or the slide projector thing. And some of these I'm going to hit, some of them I'm not going to hit, but they're for your notes, for those of you who are taking notes, and I'm going to be diving into various other scriptures. But you'll notice that when it comes to gathering and having fellowship with one another, a lot of the context that even scripture refers to is that we're bearing one another's burdens, that there's a closeness and an intimacy that takes place within a home fellowship or even other ministries that allows us to be transparent with one another, and that we actually open our lives up to each other so that there can be investment. That I don't hold, like, wall up people. Why do I want to wall people up? Because I'm probably doing something I shouldn't, and I don't want people to know about it. There could be other reasons. Maybe we've been hurt, and that's a legitimate reason. It can be difficult to walk through these different things, but Scripture provides us with a pretty clear understanding of why we gather together. So go to Galatians chapter 1. And as you're turning there, home fellowships or other ministries are provided, are here to provide the kind of commitment that we find, the kind of relationships we find, the kind of intimacy that we find within the New Testament. When you read through, they had something really special, and we do as well. We gather together. So Galatians chapter 6, I'll start in 1. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. And also bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. There is a precedent, there's an expectation that we've been given to bear one another's burdens. How do you bear one another's burdens if you're never with another person? Right? And so obviously there's this understanding that as the church gathers together, be it on a Sunday or a Wednesday or in a home or wherever, that we're there for a specific purpose. And one of those purposes is fellowship. And one of them is for edification, for the building up, that we bear those burdens so that we can endure and move on and go and do things. This is something that the church has been doing for a long time. So we see that in Hebrews. We see it here in Galatians. I wanted to read a neat little quote from a guy who lived a long time. His name was Justin Martyr. He lived around 110, 165 AD. He was an early church father. And he wrote this concerning what believers did. He says, "And on the day that is called Sunday, all who live in the city or in the country gather together into one place. And the memoirs of the apostles," which would eventually become this, right? "The memoirs of the apostles and the writings of the prophets are read," note this, "as long as time permits," right? Crazy back then, huh? "Then, when the reader has ceased, the overseer verbally instructs and exhorts," that's like build up, "to the imitation of these good things." And so for a long time, the church has been doing this, gathering together, Scripture being read. Why do we have Scripture? Well, because that's what they did, right? That's what we've been commanded. We have something very clear, instructions, and we want to hold fast to that, and we'll see why here in a second. But just so you know, this is what the church has always done, and it's just continuing that. Nothing fancy, nothing super spicy. We gather together because we've been born again and we're redeemed, and here we are sitting in front of the Word of God because we want to be taught and we want to be exhorted to walk as the Lord would have us to walk for the sake and for glory, right? And so you'll see that as we gather together on Sundays or home fellowships, that it brings a closeness. It brings an intimacy. The opposite of that, Proverbs 18:1 says that he who isolates himself seeks his own desire. And so we don't want that. I want my heart to be open to others to be able to receive. And that takes place when you're gathered with other people. And so be encouraged. Consider these things as we walk through some of these points. Just know and allow the Lord to speak. Where are you at? And do you have a group of people who can punch you in the face when you need it? Or encourage you gently when you need it that way too? Do you have that? It's important. It's vital. And you guys have seen it. And even having Thane come up and share, because these guys that he has in Reformation live home fellowships every day of their lives, right? They're gathering together and they have this accountability. They have this pouring in. Sometimes there's hooks going around. Sometimes there's gentleness being displayed, you know, as they go on. And they love one another. And hopefully it is something that is birthed out and comes out of compassion in our hearts, because we want to see people follow Jesus and we want to see him walk in a way that is strong. And so it's compassion. Why do we gather together? So it can be edified and built up. We need each other to do such a thing. The second reason we gather together is that healthy doctrine would be taught at large, right? And so the church would gather together, according to this guy named Justin Martyr, and they would read the apostles' memoirs. They would read Scripture. They would read Old Testament, New Testament. They would gather and they would do this because the word is highly regarded. We desperately need it. Paul encouraged over and over again the vitality and the healthiness that good doctrine brings. Good teaching sown as it goes out will reap healthy, usable fruit within the body of Christ. And so as you guys sit and hopefully receive healthy teaching, and when you look at kind of the Greek, when he says healthy, it's the Greek word hygiano, which is where we get our idea of hygiene or health or good. You'll see it in scripture oftentimes translated sound doctrine. We're going to hit a couple scriptures, but it says sound doctrine, but it's healthy doctrine. So go to Titus chapter 1. And take a look at what he had to say. And keep in mind, when we're going to Titus, that Titus was an overseer in Crete. And Crete had their own special set of problems where there was actually an adjective made called Cretans that was derogatory. It was a way of slighting someone or calling them a name if you called them a Cretan. Because it was, you're like those who live in Crete. You are so detestable and you lie so much. You are like a person who lives in Crete. And so the place that Titus was positioned to do ministry and be an overseer there in that church was a pretty nasty place. And so he speaks very strongly of sound doctrine. He says in verse 9, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught. Now here's encouraging the overseers. Specifically, that person or he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who contradict. So how do you hold fast to something? Just imagine grabbing hold and never letting go because it was really important. And what are they not letting go of? Sound doctrine, the word. What's the point of sound doctrine? Well, he goes on to say in other letters to Timothy, and especially in the pastoral epistles, which is 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus, writing to pastors. More than any other thing he writes, he talks about the need for sound doctrine and how important that it is. And he says that there are these two guys. One guy's name was Hymenaeus, I think. They had what Paul called cancerous doctrine. It's translated in New King James, but it's a Greek word where we get gangrene. And the opposite of healthiness and gangrene, right? Gangrene, it festers. You get infected and it begins to eventually go towards the center of your body, your heart, and it kills you if it's not taken care of. And so think of the contrast between the two and what am I allowing to be sown into my life? The Lord Jesus says, hey, we would need some healthy doctrine. So gather together. When you are gathered together, make sure healthy doctrine's coming forth. Not this gangrene stuff. We don't want any of that. The opposite of that, go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. It's just over, hopefully it's like one page, I'd say. But Paul encouraging Timothy, who lived in Ephesus at the time, he was a pastor there, and Ephesus was a huge metropolitan center in Asia at the time, and had its own set of problems, its own set of crazy worship of the goddess Diana and all that came along with that. The place was messed up. And so there's so much that Paul had to say to these guys in order that the church would walk well, right? He says, preach the word. This is verse 2. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. Because the time will come when they will not endure healthy teaching or sound doctrine. Because they have itching ears, they're going to heap up for themselves teachers and they're going to turn their ears away from the truth and they're going to be turned aside fables or myths. And so we've been given the mandate. Hey, Lord says, hey, will you teach healthy doctrine? So we gather together and we don't do cute stuff. We teach healthy doctrine. Right? And sometimes it's fun. Sometimes it's like sitting and listening like right now. It's like, oh, okay. Right. But the Lord does this thing where it hopefully as it's sown, right? As you guys receive it, your ears do that thing and it makes sense in your brain somehow that we like, it resonates and it goes into our heart and we actually do something about it. It changes our lives. Those of you who sit here who've actually are born again and following after Jesus Christ, you've heard healthy teaching and it's changed your life. The gospel has been shared with you and you are different now. You're born again, actually. You've been redeemed. And that was the hearing of the gospel. All right. So the third thing would be discipleship and mentoring. So the kind of exposure offered within the family-like atmosphere of a home fellowship enables and encourages discipleship and mentoring. And even happens organically, meaning that it just occurs because you love people and you're with them. You hear their hurts. And then specifically we see in scripture, it's the older pouring into the younger. And so go to Titus chapter 2. And I bring up this example because it's very explicit in what it explains, the older pouring into the younger, because we desperately need such a thing. And you could also say mature pouring into those who are newer in Christ, but that we are pouring out. So it's in chapter 2, starting in verse 3. It's in a list of commands that he's giving to the church. He says, the older women likewise, they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, and that they admonish the young women. That word admonish, has anybody ever heard of nothetic counseling? This is, that word admonish is the Greek word netheo. It's an idea of saying, hey, I'm encouraging you strongly, like, come on this way or try this out. This is what is right, so do that. That they admonish the young women. So order, admonishing the younger to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Now remember, Titus living in a culture and in a place where things were not healthy. Meaning that if they can walk as a Christian and display the work that Jesus Christ has done in their lives, that it's a testimony to them. And you'll notice that there was a big stamp at the very end of this. Do this, right? Now in verse 5, so that the word of God may not be blasphemed. And so there's some pretty heavy stuff that goes along with this, that as we walk as we ought to walk, the word of God is continued forth, right? It continues to go. If not, then someone can look at that with disdain. This is what you say can happen with the Lord Jesus, and this is what I see, and it can bring blasphemy to that in that way. And so just consider the gravity of it and how important it is that we have. We're a pouring out going on in our lives. Okay, so the opposite of this is kind of, this is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2. It just says this, that men will be lovers of themselves. And pouring into other people's lives and discipleship and mentoring is really hard. You know why it's hard? It's because it takes a lot of time. And you actually have to die to yourself, to your own desires and your own timetable and everything else. I have a ladybug crawling on my phone. How about that? Sorry. You have to die to your own timetable and all the other things that go on in your life because other people oftentimes don't cater to you, right? We actually are going to cater to them. Why do we do that? Why would we ever do such a thing? Well, let me give you just one thought. Because the King of Kings did it for us, right? He came, stepped down from heaven to serve and give his life as a ransom on our behalf. And we have the tremendous privilege, an amazing responsibility to do the same thing. Well, how can we do that? Isn't it exhausting? You better believe it's exhausting. But guess what? We've been given everything in Christ that he fills us with his spirit and enables us to do these really difficult tasks, to live as he has desired us to live, to pour out our lives into others because we're being connected to a source that does not end. Now, are we going to feel exhausted and tired? Absolutely. Phone call and you're like, oh, it's that person. Should I answer it or should I not? And you probably should, all right? But it can be hard sometimes, can't it? Like, I know this is going to take forever. And I'm like hanging out in my house, relaxing. What else would I do at 6:30 at night, right? Like I'm hanging out with my family. But the Lord Jesus has come down, right? And so as we look at him as our example, man, I get this awesome privilege of being able to surrender our lives for his care. The Lord is so worthy that our lives would be surrendered. So again, the opposite is men will be lovers of themselves. Paul explains in Thessalonians, I'll tell you, chapter 2, verse 8, 1 Thessalonians 2, 8. He says that, let me just read it. We're really close to it, aren't we? I really like this verse because it's hard. But he says, so affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God. So just imagine Paul giving and sharing the gospel, right? But he goes on to say, but we imparted our own lives because you'd become dear to us. And so Paul saying, I'll give you the gospel, but I'm not going to stop with just words. I'm actually going to give you my life because it was what was required. It's hard. So here's what's neat though. We gather together in our home and we're able to be with each other, right? We're able to really sit down and I can hear that person's heart where right now you're just listening to some dude drone on. But maybe if we gather in a small group or other context, right, we are able to listen to a person share and we can hear their heart or in the transit, like we're saying hi, bye to people between services. We can, you know, to be able to dig deep with people, we can. And we do that on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights and all the other times we gather together, Awana and so on. But there's a special opportunity afforded when you gather into a home and you sit down with people and you hear their heart and you hear them share a scripture or share a prayer request. And you're able now to really begin to do life with one another. And you build these relationships. I can't close my Bible with you on it. Right, so then the fourth thing is why we gather together, to be involved in Spirit-led prayer and worship. This time of gathering is to be led by the Holy Spirit, a time to sit before the Lord as a group and pray and seek after Him. Go to Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. And very simple, it says this. Oh man, verse 17 is really good too. And He is before all things. Speaking of Jesus, and in Him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have preeminence. Why is time like this to be Spirit-led? Because He's the leader, not us, right? And it's a privilege to be able to be a part of a fellowship of people and a church. Praise the Lord, we have this because we have a pastor who is Spirit-led. And for almost 30 years now, Bill's been walking with the Lord. We are able to come to a place safe doctrinally. We can gather together like this, and that it's led by the Lord. He's the leader. We're not, what are we? But He is the head of all things. And so we submit to Him, who is head of all. In Acts chapter 13, 1 through 4, you'll see Paul is hanging out with people in Antioch. Barnabas is there with him. And it just says this, that they're sitting around praying and fasting and ministering to the Lord. What were they doing? They were gathering at the home of somebody in Antioch, hanging out with each other, fellowshipping. That was all they're doing. They're sitting together, they're praying. And it's this, that the Lord spoke and He said, set apart for me, Paul and Barnabas. And it was at that point that the first missionary journey of Paul began, and it was birthed out of fellowship together. And so the Lord does these things, was led by the Lord. Now, this moves into the kind of the fifth thing, which is spiritual growth, that as we combine kind of all these different things, we put them together, what comes out of it, or what's the end? It's spiritual growth, that we actually begin to grow in our understanding of who the Lord Jesus is. Well, how do I grow in that? I'm listening to Scripture. I'm having somebody that has understanding teach it to me, to help me know more of what it means to be born again and all the things that the Lord has given to me. I need to know what that looks like. I don't know everything. But they've been walking with the Lord for 30 or 40 or 50 years. And so please sit me down and like teach me some of these things. I want to grow in my walk in the depth of who the Lord Jesus is, but also in the breadth of it all the scope and span of what the Lord Jesus has done. Grow, right? We want to be able to expand and grow. Just like plants grow and produce fruit, so are we to grow and produce fruit for the Lord. And only occurs as we're connected. Think of John 15, I'm connected to Him. It's all a work of Him, right? Hopefully you understand that none of these things listed are anything we can do in and of ourselves, but it's a work of God's Spirit as He moves within the church, as He breathes life into them. Okay, so the opposite is, and think of Hebrews, sorry, where it talks about you are only able to really drink milk. Yeah, you should be eating some meat by now, but come on, let's grow, let's increase. And then 2 Peter 3:18, you turn there if you want in case you haven't underlined it, because it's definitely a good. He says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and then to Him be glory, both now and forever. The opposite of this is found in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 7, where speaking of kind of men in the last days, they will always be learning, but they will never come to the knowledge of the truth. They're always gaining understanding, perhaps, maybe just knowledge. It won't go beyond knowledge, I suppose, right now. But they're adding, right? Adding knowledge, never coming to Jesus. But that's not our case. We gather together that we might grow, that we could learn, that we're able to sit down with people and invest in them, right? All right. So the sixth reason that we gather together is so that we might be active members of the body of Christ. The intimacy and closeness of these gatherings provide an opportunity for people to serve in their giftings. Each gift of the Spirit, as the Lord would lead, time and chance can be given during these times of gathering. So go to Romans chapter 12. Like I said, some of these might not be on the screen, and the ones on the screen relate to this. But my wife helped me find a really awesome verse. So I wanted to share it. And it was way better than the one I had. So she did a great job. So Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 4. And then listen, concerning gathering together and being active members of the body of Christ. The opposite of active would be passive. But we want to be active, right? And so he says, for as we have many members, this is verse 4 of Romans chapter 12, as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, he says, let us use them. It's understood that we would use these gifts. And that can be done really well in maybe a special way in a smaller group setting where each person can share as the Lord is moving and each person can bake really good no-bake cookies, or I guess you can't bake no-bake cookies, but you can bring them at least. Whatever gifting you have, that's a special one, but we're able to use it, right? So as those who have prophecy, prophesy. The gift of baking, bake, right? And just, I know that's not a gift of the Spirit, but hospitality is, and good no-bake cookies help hospitality. Go to 1 Peter chapter 4, and he kind of illustrates this once again and does a really good job of it. First Peter chapter 4, verse 10. As each one has received a gift, and by the way, if you are born again, you have received a gift. Minister it or serve it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And you might notice that God has given you something and that you're to use it. What is a steward? A steward takes something that isn't his and employs it and actually does something useful with it. And so the Lord has given us these gifts and he asks that we would steward it well. Okay, so the opposite of stewarding something well would be neglecting something that I've been given. And for note's sake, write down Proverbs 24:30. It's a really neat illustration you find there where he says, I walked by the field of a lazy man, and I observed that the fence or the wall was broken down, and that there were a bunch of nettles and there were a bunch of thorns that had grown up. And it was in disarray. And he said, I observed it and I looked and I considered it well and I learned something from it, that a little rest, a little fold of the hands, and so shall your poverty come upon you like a prowler. And so we've been given a gift. We've been given so much. Here's the body of Christ. And the Lord would desire that we would use it, right? He wants you to be able to use the things you're given. It's for the edification of the church, that the body at large would be able to be used, so we leave from here, or we leave from our home groups, or wherever it might be, and we go into the world and we actually do something about it. But we can, because we've been filled up and we've been encouraged by gathering together. And each of you have these gifts, and each of you who have gifts, we desperately need it. Remember Romans chapter 12 and 1 Peter says, man, we need these things, and so employ them. So as we gather together, it allows us an opportunity to be active members together. Okay, now finally, in the last point is gathering together, and specifically in home fellowships, it allows us to be involved in neighborhood outreach and just involvement in general. So being in a home that likely lies within a neighborhood. So how many of you live in a neighborhood? Does anybody live within the things of a neighborhood? Okay, so most people usually do. And these neighborhoods represent hundreds, sometimes thousands of people, depending on where you live. Gathering together can be used to walk through neighborhoods, to pray for these neighborhoods as we walk, to be able to share with neighbors the gospel, to ask what they need. They could be used as an opportunity for you to say, hey, come, we're having a Bible study, meet some awesome friends and allow them to come. It's an outreach of sorts, and we can also serve within that community as well. And so there's so much that can be done through a home fellowship, especially if it's in a neighborhood, because you're right plop next to a bunch of other people. What an exciting thought to be next to others. There's approximately, just so y'all know, like within a 5-mile radius, about 112,000 people that live 5 miles in the direction from this particular location. That's a lot of people. And most of our home fellowships lie well within, and most of us lie well within that 5-mile radius. And so an incredible opportunity that we have been given to be able to share with people, for you guys to gather together and minister to one another the things that God has given you. And it's all My goodness. It is awe for the Lord. Because he's the only one worth it. And he's the one who has given us these giftings. And I want you to know this, that as God speaks to us and as he works within our hearts, it's nothing that is to condemn us. So let's say I can look at these things and think, like, I neglect these things. And I have some issues with some of these. I just don't walk like I ought to. The Lord would just say, hey, no worries, I love you. But we would call out to him to help us, right? We would actually run to him in our times of prayer and in the word and say, Father, will you do this work in me? I need help. And the Lord desires that. He desires to work in your heart, to fashion you into the image of his son. And so consider this as we go out and about our way, be praying for the Lord just to reveal these things to you, that they would be something that you desire, you would want to pour out your life. And if you need poured into, for crying out loud, let us know. We can work on that. I say all this, and I totally, completely forgot to mention this first service, but we have home fellowship signups. Pretty important announcement after all this talk. And so if you aren't plugged in, we've had home fellowships going year-round currently, but if you haven't been plugged into a home fellowship, there are some available. There'll be more as time progresses, but I want to encourage you to pray about it. If you are in need of that kind of fellowship, if you need that kind of closeness, which, by the way, hopefully you can see, that's all of us, then we have that available for you. And if you want that to get plugged in with the body and to begin to build relationships that are centered around Jesus that can help you in your ministry, then please sign up. Get plugged in, get involved so that we can be used by the Lord for his glory. He is worthy of all of it. There is no other who is worthy. And so just consider these things as we go about it. That is all. Let's pray. All right, Lord. You have done work. You've redeemed and bought us back. And here we are gathered together on Sunday like the church has been doing for a long time. And it's because of something you've done. We're here to worship you. We're here to glorify you. We're not here for ourselves that people would look, think that we're something special, but it is all about you. And so, Lord, we ask and we plead and we beg that you would work in our own hearts, that you would show us what it is that we are to do. Thank that you perfectly love us, that we have been hidden in your Son, Jesus Christ, that it is his righteousness and not our own that has saved us. You have done a work that no other could, and we worship and praise you for that. And here we are, Lord, as your body. Use us. Minister, Father, to us and speak to us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Bill will continue his teaching in our next broadcast. Journey Through the Word is a listener-supported ministry of Horizon Christian Fellowship in Indianapolis. We appreciate your prayers and support. If you would like more info about Horizon Christian Fellowship, you may call 317-823-2349 or visit us at horizonindy.org. Please join us next time when you'll hear the pages turn and journey through the Word.